The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 452 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is free in the podcast section of iTunes, and you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT, that's our handle on Twitter. If you agree, disagree, it's all good. Chime in at the Sports RPT. We are down to the final four in the NFL. How awesome were the two games on Sunday? Finally we get some close games. Great drama in Dallas and at Kansas City. I'll take you through all four divisional playoff matchups. And I need to call out one player and one broadcaster. A couple of Roberts rants are on the way. Stay tuned for that. How much does a ticket to the Super Bowl cost? The price is dropping. I'll explain. All of that on episode number 452 of the Sports Report. 30 to 40 minutes, fast-paced, high-energy sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. You hear me harp on how important the quarterback position is each and every week. I go on and on and on about it, how you have to find a quarterback to win in the NFL. There's just no way around it. Well, look who's left standing in the playoffs. Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, and Matt Ryan, who's having an MVP caliber season. I said last week I'd give him a slight edge over Rodgers and Brady. Brady missed the first four games. That's a quarter of the season, so you have to factor that in. Just a slight lean to Ryan over Rodgers. But all these quarterbacks are really, really good. It's about the quarterback, first and foremost. If you are unsettled at that position, good luck. There were two more double-digit winners on Saturday, so let's start with Sunday's divisional matchups. Two beauties here. And this is what you wait all season for, right? Games like this. Down to the wire, a trip to the conference championship on the line. You gotta love it. We all knew that Green Bay at Dallas was gonna be a shootout, and that is exactly what happened. By the way, speaking of knowing things, the public had a monster weekend. The Vegas sportsbooks took heavy, heavy losses. Some are saying it was their worst weekend ever. Usually, I'm a fan of the old opposite theory that if the public, if everybody's going one way, it's probably best to go the other way. But the public is red hot right now, just killing the books, killing them. Most people like the over, and we got 65 points, 52 combined first downs, and 843 total yards. Two words, defense optional. It's like a Big 12 game broke out in Arlington. I said going in, I did not like the defenses for Green Bay, Dallas, Atlanta, and Seattle with out Earl Thomas in the mix. If he's in there, different story. So, as expected, we saw some fireworks. Packers jumped out to a 21-3 lead midway through the second quarter after Ty Montgomery's second short touchdown run. Rodgers was carving up that Dallas defense. Green Bay's first three scoring drives were 75, 90, and 80 yards. All I can say is Dallas better use all of its top draft picks on the defensive side. Their offense, you like the quarterback, you certainly like the running back, the two rookies were great, you love that offensive line, it's young, a lot of first round picks there, they need to address the defense. Outside of Sean Lee at linebacker, they need some serious help. So it's 21-3, And then I almost fell out of my chair. Troy Aikman, who I think does a really good job on Fox, he mentions the name Tony Romo. I could not believe my ears. Seriously, Troy? You want to bring in Romo for Dak Prescott, who's played really well all season while Romo's been out injured? It's the middle of the second quarter, for crying out loud. And you want to go with the guy who's barely played this season? I mean, that made zero sense. Aikman took a hit on the old Roberts respectometer right there. Of course, Joe Buck, who always tries too hard to be cool, he chimes in with, "That's a really good point, Troy." Huh? No, it isn't. It is a terrible point, Troy. It's an absurd point. Prescott completed 68% of his passes this season, 23 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions. His quarterback rating was 105. And you want to yank him midway through the second quarter? There's 7.5 minutes left before halftime, and you want to pull out the guy who played great all season? Good grief. I mean, that's the ultimate case of being a prisoner of the moment right there. And I didn't expect it from Troy Aikman. Just utterly ridiculous. Of course, Prescott throws a 40-yard touchdown pass to Dez Bryant 1.5 minutes later, and Aikman did not mention Tony Romo again. Surprise, surprise. Thank goodness. I would have had to break out my old rusty nail and stick it directly into my eyeball. I mean, Troy just had a brain cramp there. I guess we all get him. Dallas was within 21-13 at halftime, but Rodgers found Jared Cook, remember that name, for a short touchdown pass to cap a 75-yard drive early in the third quarter, and the lead was up to 15. Now, I can't stand the Cowboys. I don't like the Cowboys a little bit, but I do have to give them credit for one heck of a comeback. They go on a 10-play and an 11-play touchdown drive, and with 4.5 minutes to go, it is 28-all. Jerry's world was rocking and rolling, and then it turned into a showcase for the kickers. First, Mason Crosby drills a 56-yard field goal. Dan Bailey answered from 52 with 35 seconds left. That tied it up. And then came the pass and the catch that everybody's talking about at the water cooler today. 3rd and 20 for Green Bay after a sack, and Rodgers somehow, some way, was able to hold on to that football after he got hit and not fumble on the sack. He rolls to his left and he throws a dart, a laser beam down the sideline to his tight end Cook for a gigantic 36-yard gain with 12 seconds on the clock. Unbelievable arm strength from Rodgers. Maybe John Elway, maybe Dan Marino could have made that throw. That's about it. That's coming to mind. And Cook did an incredible job of getting his feet in bounds. What play in the clutch. Bring on Mr. Crosby for a 51-yarder and the win. Now, it started to the left, and I'm thinking, he hooked this thing. I mean, it looked no good. It looked like it was going left. It comes back to the right, and it was party time USA for the Cheeseheads. I mean, just a crazy, crazy finish. An instant classic, 34-31. And that's why I never make fun of kickers. That's a meathead thing to do. Kickers decide games. And yet you hear all these ex-players, they're constantly ripping kickers and talking about how they're not really football players. Well, Crosby was money in a big, big spot there. So the number one seed is out. Dallas 1-done. Cowboys have lost 5 straight divisional round playoff games. They haven't been to a conference championship game since the 1995 season. So we're talking over two decades ago. Green Bay has won 8 in a row. Home teams had won 8 straight playoff games before that victory by the Packers. Rodgers, 28 of 43, 356, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. They put up 34 points without Jordy Nelson, who's one of the best receivers in the game. Cook had 6 catches for 104 yards. Adams and Cobb combined for 12 catches for a buck 38. Dallas defense just had no answer. Cowboys offense was fine. I mean, that wasn't the issue. Dak was 24-38, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. Ezekiel Elliott ran for 125. Dez had 9 catches for a buck 32 and 2 scores. So their stars on offense came to play. And that squad has a very, very bright future, but they must address the defense. They just can't get around that. We'll head out to Kansas City and talk about the Chiefs and Steelers coming up. But first, I want to tell you about our great sponsor here on the Sports Report podcast, and that is iHome. iHome's introduced its Zenergy line of products. They feature sound and light therapy technology to help you fall asleep and wake up energized and ready to go. And that's something that is important to all of us. These new iHome products have soothing sounds from nature and white noise that's designed to help your mind and your body relax. They also include specially designed light therapy programs to promote sleep and increase your energy during the day. Dr. Michael Bruce, who is known as the Sleep Doctor, he recommends these new iHome products, and he's the most trusted authority on sleep in the nation. So go to their website, iHomeAudio.com, and take a look at the Zenergy line of products, like the bedside sleep therapy machine and the portable sleep therapy speaker. Of course, iHome has it all. They're the number one brand in digital speakers. They have docking clock radios, portable wireless speakers, headphones, earbuds, much, much more. It's all on the website, iHomeAudio.com. Back on episode 452 of the Sports Report, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, also a nail biter, just like Green Bay and Dallas, but not nearly as many points. Hope you, like me, took the under in this one. The Chiefs and the Steelers both put together nice opening drives. Pittsburgh settled for 3, and that became a theme all night long. Kansas City got 7 on an Alex Smith 5-yard TD pass to Albert Wilson. Great play action fake on that pass. They faked like they're running it to the right, came back, threw it to the left, wide open touchdown. But Kansas City would not score again until there were 10 seconds remaining in the third quarter. Fortunately for the Chiefs, their defense bent but did not break. And that is their MO. They've been doing it all season long. They give up yards. You can go up and down the field, but they don't give up touchdowns. They are very good at forcing turnovers, and they clamp down in the red zone. Very good red zone defensive club. Chris Boswell made 6 field goals. Yep, 6. And that is an NFL playoff record. So Pittsburgh's up 12-7 at the half. I thought they could have been up 2 touchdowns, maybe more. Le'Veon Bell was having a field day, but the Steelers just were not finishing drives. So fast forward to the fourth quarter. It's 18-10, and Smith engineers a 13-play, 75-yard touchdown drive capped by Spencer Ware's 1-yard run. They have to go for 2. It's 18-6. Again, high drama. I mean, this is better than Homeland and Game of Thrones put together. I actually just started binge watching Homeland. And I know you're thinking, Paul, where the heck have you been? Yes, I'm very, very late to the party here. But all my friends said, I was looking for a new show to watch. They said, Paul, have you seen Homeland? I said, no. They said, you're going to love it. Because I like those shows that make you think a little bit. Reminds me of The Americans. If you haven't seen that, another really good show. So I'm just getting into Homeland now. But I'll take sports over those shows any day of the week and twice on Sundays. So Smith fires a pass that is caught. The Chiefs think they've tied the game. But, and this is a Fat Albert-sized but, after Fat Albert just ate at the all-you-can-eat buffet. Left tackle Eric Fisher is called for holding James Harrison. Take the 2 points off the board. Wow. Much more on that in a second. On the next two-point conversion attempt, Smith's pass to Jeremy Maclin is broken up, and the Steelers are able to run out the clock after that. 18-16, a thriller for Pittsburgh. Another road winner. Chiefs have not won a home playoff game since 1994. Man, I was still in high school. They have lost 5 in a row in the postseason at home. And you always think of Kansas City, Seattle, two of the toughest places to play because of the tremendous crowd noise. Pittsburgh's the first team since the Colts in 2006 to win a postseason game without scoring a touchdown. All field goals. Le'Veon Bell, who went 467 yards last week against Miami, he piled up a franchise record 170 yards on 30 carries. His patience, his vision, it's remarkable. He's one of a kind. I mean, I never remember seeing a running back like this. I mean, it almost comes to a dead stop. They were using the Frogger comparison last night on TV, which I thought was pretty funny. But Bell is a different type of back. A Big Ben, 20 of 31, 224 yards and a pick. That came on a tip ball when they were in the red zone. He is much, much better at home. It's not even close. Speedster Tyreek Hill was quiet. 3 carries, 18 yards, 4 catches, only 27 yards for Hill. Pittsburgh was able to contain him, which was a big key. Kansas City was 2 of 9 on third down and only had 227 total yards. Now, they didn't deserve to win. Which brings us to Travis Kelce, who had a big drop in this game, and he also had a 15-yard penalty. Well, Kelce was not shy of his criticism of referee Carl Sheffers for that holding penalty that I talked about on Eric Fisher that cost the Chiefs what would have been the tying two-point conversion late in the game. Quote, referee number 51 should not even be able to wear a zebra jersey ever again. He should not be able to work at blanking Foot Locker. And Kelce was just getting warmed up. Quote, for it to end like that, with the referee literally taking it out of our hands, that hurts. You try to play this game with integrity to the end of the whistle, and when the refs want to take over the game and make it their own platform, there's nothing you can do about it. That wasn't a hold on my guy, Eric Fisher. I hope he doesn't go the entire offseason thinking it was his fault. That was horses blank, flat out. And he wasn't done there. Kelce added, we just got our jugulars ripped out because the refs felt bad for James Harrison falling on the ground. Now, Fisher sat at his locker for several minutes after the game with his head in his hands. Obviously, he was really, really upset. He told reporters, I'm frustrated with the call, with the game on the line, for me to let the team down. It's going to be a hard one for me to let go. Fisher, if you haven't seen it, and by now I think you have, Fisher had Harrison up around the neck. All right, Harrison goes down to the ground. That is a holding penalty 100 times out of 100. At least it should be. I mean, I thought it was an obvious call after seeing the replay. No doubt about it. I mean, that looked like something out of the WWE, something you would see on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown or SummerSlam or the old films of Hogan and Andre the Giant there. I mean, he grabs him up around the neck and takes him down. So I really think that Travis Kelce owes referee Carl Sheffers an apology there. I mean, saying the guy should not even be able to work at Foot Locker, that's pretty bad right there. And you know I am the chief of the excuse police. So I have to call a violation here on Travis Kelce. It was a blatant hold. Deal with it. See, the problem in our society, I've talked about this at length many, many times here on the podcast and on my radio show, there's no personal accountability anymore in our society. It's the blame game. Or who can I sue? You know, that's what it's about. That's why we have so many lawsuits going on. Must be great to be an attorney. I mean, you're never going to run out of work. But it's always somebody else's fault. Never me. Always point the finger somewhere else. This wasn't about that holding call. It was a legitimate call. Watch the replay. Pretty obvious. And let's not forget, Kelce did have a big drop in the game and also a 15-yard penalty. So keep that in mind as well. Your thoughts, always welcome on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT on Twitter. This is episode number 452 of the Sports Report, coming to you on this Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. The show is free in the podcast section of iTunes. Just type in the Sports Report, Paul Roberts, and it'll come right up. Keep those five-star reviews coming there. That helps to promote the show. Number 3 seed Pittsburgh will visit number 1 seed New England Sunday, 6:40 Eastern. Here's the scary thing. The Pats did not play well versus the Texans, and they still won by 18. It was 34-16. The line was 16.5, by the way, so another cover for this guy. Did anyone honestly think that the $72 million man, Brock Osweiler, was going to go into Foxborough and beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick? No shot. I mean, you got a better chance of winning Powerball. Osweiler tossed 3 picks. He had a quarterback rating of 47.7. Brutal. And remember how I started today's show, talking about the importance at the quarterback position. Oh, Brady threw 2 picks, deflected passes. Patriots had 3 turnovers. I mean, they were keeping Houston in the game, plus some awful penalties. What is Eric Rowe doing? Somebody help me out here. What is Rowe doing? And this was a high draft pick of the Philadelphia Eagles, and they traded the guy. They got him out of there, and their secondary stinks. So it tells you a little bit something about Eric Rowe. But it's 3rd and long. They're getting off the field. Houston's about to punt, and there's this scrap, and he starts throwing people off the pile, which is a penalty. How dumb can you be? New England still won, though, even with the penalties and the turnovers, and I never got the feeling that they were ever really threatened, that they were ever in danger here. Houston was 3 of 16 on 3rd down. They also gave up a 98-yard kickoff return touchdown to Deion Lewis, who can fly. He also had a touchdown run and a touchdown catch. So he had 3 scores. He's the first player in the Super Bowl era to do that. Kick return score, touchdown run, and touchdown catch. Patriots are on to their 6th straight conference championship game. Is that impressive or what? That's an NFL record, and you may not like them, but I think you have to respect them. They just keep winning and winning and winning. Atlanta, on the other hand, had not been in a playoff game in 4 years. Matt Ryan made sure that the Falcons did not go 1-and-done. They knocked out Seattle 36-20 at the Georgia Dome. Matty Ice passed for 338 yards and 3 scores. He had been just 1 of 4 in the postseason. 8 players caught passes from Ryan in this one, so he really was spreading it around. And that offense is scary good. I mean, they have receivers, they have running backs. I thought that momentum clearly shifted on a special teams penalty that happened in the 2nd quarter. And you know where I'm going here. The holding call, that negated an 80-yard punt return by Devin Hester. How old is that guy, by the way? And he still produces. Still really, really dangerous. Seattle was up 10-7 at the time. So Seahawks had the lead. They would have had a first and goal. Instead, that holding penalty puts them all the way back at the 7-yard line. And again, on replay, it looked like it was the correct call. Couple plays later, Russell Wilson got stepped on by the backup right guard. Their starter at right guard got injured. So the backup's in there. He steps on Russell Wilson as he's trying to pull away from the center. He trips, he falls, and he is touched down in the end zone for a safety. Huge swing. I mean, a few moments ago, you think, we got first and goal here with a 3-point lead. Now it's 10-9, and you're stuck with the safety. And then late in the half, Atlanta went 99 yards for a touchdown. I mean, you know, that's what I was saying about the Seattle defense. You know, it's just not the same without Earl Thomas in there. I mean, they just don't give up 99-yard drives. Tevin Coleman caught a 14-yard touchdown pass for a 19-10 lead. Atlanta put together a 13-play, 75-yard drive to open up the third quarter. That was polished off by Devontae Freeman's 1-yard run. I mean, they have a really nice duo there, a couple of young backs in Coleman and also Freeman. And after Freeman's run, Falcons never looked back. It was over at that point. Seattle isn't the same on the road. I mean, they allowed 422 yards and 28 first downs. More like the Legion of Gloom instead of the Legion of Boom. But Earl Thomas is a player you can't replace. He's one of the elite safeties in the game right now. So number two, Atlanta, hosts number four seed Green Bay Sunday at 3:05 Eastern. That's your NFC Championship game. Falcons, the two seed, Pack, the four seed. Here are the lines for Sunday's matchups. Atlanta's minus four. Atlanta's a 4-point favorite over Green Bay. The over-under, 60.5. You heard me right. 60.5. And these teams played in the regular season. It was week 8 at the Georgia Dome. The Falcons beat the Packers 33-32. So you had 65 combined points in that one, which helps to explain why the over-under here is 60.5. I mean, both of these offensive have been just on fire. In the AFC, New England is a 5.5-point favorite over Pittsburgh. The over-under is 51.5, almost 10 points lower than in the NFC. I like the Patriots at home. Again, Big Ben, not the same on the road. Plus, and this is important, do you think Brady's going to have another game like that? Do you think the Patriots are going to have another game with stupid bonehead penalties and three turnovers at home? I don't see that happening. So I like New England in the AFC matchup. I'm not sure about the NFC Championship. I may go under there because I think everyone is expecting a shootout. So I think everybody's going to be on the over. I'll use the opposite theory. I'll probably go in the under there. I mean, 60.5. Jeez. Who do you like? Let me know on Twitter. You can weigh in at the Sports RPT. Are you going Falcons or Packers? And then in the AFC, are you going Patriots or Steelers? Let me know on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. Before we wrap it up here on episode 452 of the Sports Report podcast, I wanted to talk to you about some Super Bowl prices. Price of Super Bowl tickets is actually going down. And you can thank the Dallas Cowboys for that. How about them Cowboys? The resale ticket market took a hit just minutes after the Cowboys lost to the Packers on Sunday. Before Sunday's playoff game, the cheapest ticket to the Super Bowl on StubHub was $4,195. Yes, I said cheapest almost $4,200. Shortly after the Cowboys lost, the price was down 20% to $3,350. Tickets in the lower end zone dropped 18% to $4,300. Before Sunday, the ticket brokers were benefiting from the fact that people were speculating the Cowboys would get to their first Super Bowl in 21 years. And, you know, the Super Bowl is in nearby Houston. So they were expecting some high prices for those Super Bowl tickets. Now, they've gone down, but still out of my price range. Sorry. And I know people have a bucket list, and maybe one of the things on that list is go to a Super Bowl. But I don't know. It's tough to justify. Maybe you're in a different tax bracket than me, but it's tough to justify $4,200. And then, you know, down even to $3,300. That's tough right there. That'd be a couple of really, really nice vacations right there, $3,300. But the prices are going down, all the way down to $3,300. Enjoy. That'll do it for episode number 452 of the Sports Report. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're with you every Monday on grizzlyproductions.tv and, of course, in the podcast section of iTunes. Tell your friends, your buddies, coworkers, family members, your relatives, if they're into sports, to give the show a try. Please follow me on Twitter. Always love to see new followers there. I'm at the Sports RPT. I check it every day. I like to interact with you there on Twitter at the Sports RPT. And this week I'm looking for your conference championship game predictions. Who is going to go to the Super Bowl? Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Have a great week, everybody. I will talk to you again next Monday when we'll look back at the AFC and NFC championship games. Hopefully they're as good as Sunday's action was. This is episode number 452 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on grizzlyproductions.tv.